All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, August 8th of 2024. We have a three-game early MLB slate almost finished up, just waiting for the Giants and Nationals to get out of their delay in the eighth inning. Hope you guys did well if you guys played that slate. If you did not, we have a five-game MLB main slate later this evening. Fresh slate there. Should be fun. And then golf got postponed until tomorrow. We'll see what happens with the tropical storm there. A lot of weather talk and discussion going on there. So round one delayed. But either way, for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and wanting to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do the show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. But with that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up here. I have a couple questions to get started with today. Nothing that I think is going to take too long here. So if you guys have any questions, let me know. And then as always, we do have our build review show at 5 p.m. Eastern in about an hour. Have two people to go over here at the moment. But if anybody else wants to have their build reviewed from a previous MLB slate this week, just let me know and I can add you to the queue. Easiest thing to do is drop your username in the Office Hours channel in Discord so I can easily find you. All right. With that said, let's jump into our first question. Came in here from Gonzalez, said, when use live field lineups, if available, is enabled in the custom sim settings, will it use a live version of the custom field I created, meaning the actual score of the lineups on my custom field at that point? Or does it only work on SaberSim's field lineups? Okay, good question. So let's talk about the two options here first, right? So let's say we're creating a contest, right? I'm a contest sim. You're going to see these two toggles down here. Use live sims if available and use live field lineups if available. So what live sims is doing is this is what is taking in the actual scores of the players and assigning points to the players in the lineup and then projecting the rest of the slate. So let's say that, who's playing today? Toronto is. So let's say Vlad Guerrero Jr. hits a home run in the first inning. Well, maybe he was projected for 9 points. Well, he's already got 14, right? So his projection should change because he's going to have additional at-bats the rest of the game. So what I would say is that, you know, this live sims, if available, is just accounting for points in the games up to that point, right? Live field lineups, if available, what's happening there is we are intaking the contest data. So when, you know, this game starts, right? We'll call it the $15 150 max. This is going to be the contest that is designated to the flagship MME ownership bucket. When we read this contest file and read the players that are in the game and read the ownership and all of that stuff, this is where we are taking this is where the live ownership is coming from, right? We have our pre-slate ownership. And then, you know, first game at lock is the Angels and the Yankees. So let's say that, you know, Aaron Judge is projected for 25% ownership. Let's say he comes in at 35%, right? The builder is going to take that. Imagine just putting in pieces to a puzzle, right? We're starting with no pieces, but then the slate gets unlocked and then we start putting the pieces in. Like, okay, hey, you know, Judge ended up being 35%, not 25. Let's rebuild ownership with that input, understanding how much salary he's taking in lineups, understanding, you know, positional eligibility, what are the remaining positions available, all of that kind of stuff, right? So this is coming from a specific contest. So when you use a custom field and you have these toggles on, the custom field is not connected to a contest. So the live field lineups doesn't really matter, but the live sims, if available, does. So if you can If you're using a custom field while a slate is in progress in your late swaps, well, then we're still going to have the actual scores for those players. So the bottom toggle, the use live field lineups if available, doesn't really do anything for you, but the live sims if available does, because we're going to be assigning points to the players in the custom field that you built, and then understanding how those lineups in the custom field are doing to that point in the slate. So the live sims, if available, will benefit you if you're using a custom field and late swapping. The live field lineups, if available, will not benefit you because your custom field is not connected to any specific contest. Hope that makes sense. And if it doesn't, just let me know. We can go over it. All right. Next question here. What's a good number for the projection filter you recommended? So, you know, we've been talking about trimming down your pool of lineups based on projection or ownership. We've talked about a number of different options here. And I just want to, you know, remind you guys that, like, you know, hard and fast rules are not always good. And, you know, imagine taking a projection rule where, imagine I answered that question by just giving you a number. Like, you know what? 100 is always good, right? But then you go and try to use 100 on the 3-game morning slate. And you get rid of all the lineups, right? It's like, well, I thought 100 is good. It's like, well, 100 is probably good if it's like a 13-game slate. Like, you know, Friday, I think there's like a big slate tomorrow. You know, it'd probably work great on that slate. But, you know, for a 3-game slate, you know, it's going to be a different number. Like, there isn't just like an arbitrary number you could just kind of come up with. So the better thing to do is to build lineups and then just try and get rid of a portion of your pool. And I've, you know, been saying 10 to 20%. I think that's like a good filter, right? Or amount to filter. So what you do is you come in here, you say show lineups with projected score greater than, and you just make up a number, right? And then you see the impact that it has. I just did 90 and I got rid of 194 lineups, which is like closer to like 40%. So I'd be like, okay, you know, 90 is too high for this 5-game slate. Let's drop it down to 87. And then that gets us like right in the 10 to 20% range, very, very close. And like, I would be happy with that number, right? But it's less so about the number and it's more so about just trimming the lowest projected lineups out of your pool and understanding how many lineups you're getting rid of. So that is the way that I like to think about it. And that percentage idea can actually be used across all different types of slates, because as a projection changes, you know, the ratio of lineups that you're getting rid of stays the same. So that's what I would be recommending. All right. Jay said, should you use the min uniques on all the lineups remaining in the pool? So if you're filtering out lineups, right, I would still use min uniques. You know, you still need, let's say that I'm building for a 20 max, right? Well, I still need 20 lineups. I have 440 left. You know, there's no reason I shouldn't diversify at this point. Sometimes you're going to be able to get to a not as high of a number, but I think that, you know, we've kind of shown here from lots and lots of examples that, you know, you probably shouldn't be maxing it out because you're sacrificing a lot of ROI. You're sacrificing average projection, you know, the further and further you go, right? So like diversification is good, yes, but you know, you need to balance it with all of the other things as well, right? You shouldn't just diversify to diversify or diversify at all costs, right? Like that could end up hurting you. So, you know, the same way you have to balance your leverages, balance your exposures, you need to balance your diversification, in my opinion, based on, you know, the effect that it ultimately has on the lineups that you end up playing. So I think mini uniques is still great. Even if you're filtering, you're just going to have less available lineups, but that's okay. All right, Baz and Wu DFS lineup. So I think they're asking about pitchers here. So like Brian Wu, and I'm assuming there's somebody on the slate named Baz, but I'm not sure. If you want to clarify for me. Oh, Shane Baz here. You know, the best way, right, in my opinion, to do this is to run a build and then see how often these guys are coming up, right? So like Brian Wu, 47% ownership in about 41% of our pool lineups here, just sorting by Saber score. I think that's, you know, it's small negative leverage, but he's still coming up often enough where, you know, he's still making it into 30% of our top 20, right? So like, That's not to say he's a bad play. And then, you know, Shane Baz in 11% of our pool, about 9% ownership. So about even, but he's not making it into our top 20, right? So, you know, look at the pools in different bite-sized chunks. You know, I like to do like, hey, let's look at like the top 10% of lineups. If I have 500, let's look at the top 50. And then, you know, let's look at like the top five. And then let's try and see if we can find some trends of guys that are coming up more often, right? And players that we may be really comfortable playing. So like Nestor Cortez looks pretty solid, positive leverage in his pool, in plenty of our top 1% of lineups, in plenty of our top 10% of lineups. So, you know, if I had to pick anybody, I'd probably be trying to build a lineup around Nestor Cortez and then fit one of these other players in around him. All right. Sam said, is there anything that Contest Sim doesn't take into account that Saber Score does? Let's pull up Saber Score and let's look at what the formula looks like. So typically Saber Score is going to be three variables: average projection, 99th percentile, and average adjusted ownership. So what are the differences, right? Saber Score has this floor variable, this sum projection. You know, the Contest Sims don't have that, right? And that's why that's like the first reason that we created risk-adjusted ROI is because, hey, you know, these lineups are very, very leveraged against, you know, say like the chalky pitcher. You're going to get, you know, a lot of like cornering of the market. So, you know, we wanted to create something to kind of account for some of that floor for your lineups. And then we made the adjustment to Contest Sims within the last like 2-3 weeks here, kind of doing something similar, right? Trying to account for your lineups as a portfolio. So, you know, I'd say that the Contest Sim from what I can see, right? Like let's say that, you know, I want to look at the top 50 lineups here and I just look at the average projection. It's about 94 points sorted by Saber Score top 50 lineups. Then let's go and run a Contest Sim and let's see how this aggregate metric changes. All right, Contest Sim finished. Let's go to the Contest Sim and let's just sort by risk adjusted ROI. So the projection went down a little bit, right? It goes down to like 92.5, down like a point and a half. This is because, you know, the Contest Sim, you know, you're not really making a lot of money from cashing, but it's still good to have like a floor, right? It's still good to like kind of be aware, you know, you're like cashing is so bad. I know that sounds funny, but like if you're optimizing to cash in GPPs, you're going to lose money in the long term because if you look at the payout structures, you know, cashing percent is like 20%, 25%. So let's say it's 20%, right? That means you have a 1 in 5 chance of cashing, just raw math. Well, you're probably lucky if you're playing a contest where min cash is 2x your money. It's oftentimes like 1.5x, 1.7, sometimes 2x. So imagine, you know, you're effectively playing a game where if you cash, which your cashing rate is 20%, 1 out of 5 times, I only give you twice your money. You know, the house has a ridiculous edge if that is the end of the game, right? But in DFS, payout structures are so top heavy that, you know, the amount you win multiplies as you move up the standings, like very, very significantly, right? So the Contest Sim is kind of optimizing for those high upside outcomes, which is kind of why we talk about like these projection filters or like being projection conscious and like having this aggregate metric, because, you know, you still want to be aware, you know, it's not fun to have like negative 90% like ROI days, like just, you know, maxing out Contest Sims and, you know, using it to like its full potential. You know, a lot of us are working with bankroll constraints, you know, only like so much bankroll to allocate a day, don't want to lose it all. So that's why, you know, it's important like to be a little bit conscious of these things, but the computer is optimizing for highest possible outcomes, right? So I say that's something to be aware of, difference between like Saber Score and the contest sims. Second thing here, it's definitely accounting for upside, right? Upside is super important. And then average adjusted ownership. So what the adjusted ownership does is it takes into account a player's range of outcomes and their ownership and kind of says, hey, do we think this guy is like worth that ownership? You know, the contest sim does kind of do that because the players are in the lineups at a percentage close to the adjusted ownership. And then the range of outcomes gets taken into account by us sampling all of the games across the 100K contest sim sample. So I think that the contest sim does a good job of accounting for the upside well, the range of outcomes of the players well, understanding how many lineups they're in. But I would say, yeah, you know, maybe the projection is like something where the contest sim doesn't do a great job because it's not really optimizing for those outcomes, but it's still like something to be aware of and conscious of. So that would be my advice there. You know, one other thing that I didn't think of, the single game Saber Score, right? So sim optimals here, this is a variable that talks about or basically summarizes how often a particular set of players came up as the best lineup, right? So you could have the same six players win multiple sims. Well, we're not going to put the same lineup into your pool more than once. What we're going to do is we're going to tally that information and then use it as a variable in this formula. Well, what's interesting is just because a group of players is showing up as optimal in the sim building process in when we're building your lineups doesn't mean that that lineup is always going to be good when we put it in the contest sim. Because let's say that this lineup is very, very chalky, you know, using like the most popular captain, high players in the utility, that lineup can be so heavily duplicated that the money it wins when it wins, even though it wins a lot, it's winning such a small portion of the first place prize that it makes it almost not worth it to play it. So that's something that's like a little bit different between the contest sim and the sim optimals. Like you might see lineups with high sim optimals, but maybe their ROIs aren't that good. And the reason is probably because of duplication. So that's just something to be aware of. I think both variables, I think the sim optimals variable is a good thing to be aware of. You know, we use it in Saber Score, but there are times where, you know, you might end up playing lineups that are heavily duplicated, which is why, you know, geometric mean works across all plans. You could set it as a rule. You could set it as a custom metric and a filter where you're accounting for how likely lineups are to be duplicated. So you could use geometric mean combined with single game Saber Score and find lineups that have a lower chance of being duplicated on, you know, the standard plan, the pro plan, et cetera here. So that is something as well to be aware of. All right. Taking a peek here. No more questions in Discord and we're caught up in the YouTube chat. So we do have the build review show going live in about 40 minutes here. Reminder, we only have two names on the list for today. So if anybody wants their builds reviewed, today is a good day to drop your name in the Office Hours channel and I will be able to add you to the list to get you up on the screen. But going to get out of here. So appreciate you guys tuning in as always here. And I will be right back here in about 40 minutes. So until then, guys, take care. Thanks. Bye.